Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, yes, they are back. The Shake and Bake team, they are not allowed together on national media. Rich Steripoli, former Secret Service special agent in charge, and also another special agent in charge from Secret Service, Frank Loveridge. Thanks, guys, for being on the show. And to our audience, you are about to find out why these guys are not allowed on network television together. And then, not to be left out, we have our bona fide badass, Scott Steyer from Arrow Precision, former Green Beret and Delta Force operative. And thanks so much. We always love you being here because we never know what's going to come out of your mouth, Scott. So I love it. So you know, he's got pointed questions, and Scott thinks from a tactical perspective. He brings up some excellent points. So, and if he's thinking it, we know that a lot of you guys are too. A shout out to our sponsors, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we've been on satellite radio since Cinco de Mayo. And then AeroPrecisionUSA.com, Scott's company, and they are our arms sponsor. They got some cool gear. We're going to be talking about that later on. Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. We are streaming right now to Facebook pages with 1.5 million followers. And that's just 5 Facebook pages. We're streaming to a lot of other locations as well. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go there, check out the cool gear like the shirt I'm wearing, and also the shirt I sent Scott that he's still not wearing. And I couldn't resist, Scott, I'm sorry. FishOrlandoBass.com. And hey, one of our newest sponsors, you know, they're based out of Orlando. So if you're having to take the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, I always say, keep the car in gear, put on the brake, let them out, then hook up with Zach at FishOrlandoBass.com and do the bass fishing charter. Or if you're feeling very adventurous, I'm sure Scott would be all over this, do the alligator hunting option. And yet you catch and relocate alligators. Amazing opportunity. Wow. If anyone does that, you gotta take pictures and let me know, and we'll figure out a way to get this on the website. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and also Travis Yates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make this show happen. And guys, we got a lot of stuff to cover. We have breaking news on an active shooting that happened earlier this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and have Frank talk about that in a second. We've also got a verdict reach in the Florida would-be Trump assassin, Ryan Ruth. We've got, actually, Frank's going to make another announcement in reference to that. Trump signs executive order designating Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. We got a man arrested in Sacramento, ABC TV station shooting. Secret Service foils a cyber attack. What in the world? They got a new unit doing that stuff. And we got a doorbell camera catching a suspect attacking officers with a knife in Cathedral City. He obviously has no respect for the name. Drone footage shows the fatal shooting of a 72-year-old, and I need Scott's expertise on this. I suspect he was taken out by a SWAT sniper. Then man arrested for allegedly aiming a laser at Air Force One with the president on board. And we have a Los Angeles sheriff's deputy fatally shooting a suspect who charges at a deputy with two knives. And then we have DHS saying that they will not comply with California's new law banning officers from wearing face masks. And they did it to prohibit the feds from doing that. The feds are saying, you know what? We're going to keep doing it. We have an ESSO releases footage of a fatal shooting involving a man with a knife in a mental health crisis. I think they pretty much all are they not? James Comey's daughter is suing the Justice Department. She wants her to get her old job back. Are you freaking serious? So anyhow, those are the story. And look, guys, we don't usually have the dynamic duo on together because you're not allowed on national TV together. But that said, if there's anything you want to take out of order, like the Comey's daughter thing or whatever, just let me know and we'll cover that. But we do have breaking news. Frank, I asked Frank before the show if he covered the latest stuff involving this active shooter in Texas. So Frank, can you kind of bring us up to speed on what's been going on?
Absolutely, Chip. So first thing is we have a politically motivated situation going on in Dallas, Texas, once again, at a ICE processing center, not a detention center, a processing center. This processing center had a bomb threat that was called into that location just recently. So this is not the first threat against this processing center. A sniper from an elevated position shot at a van that was unmarked, that was in a Sallyport area, in which there's reports that two individuals were killed. I do believe that the shooter was killed by a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And we also know that no law enforcement agents, thank God, were hurt in this assassination or this this attempt on the lives of the individuals with that sally port at this ICE processing center. We know there was anti-ICE graffiti on the shell casings. And we also know that they've identified the individual at this time. They've not released the name, but they're doing the social media and the background checks on this individual. So we should learn more about the shooter in the very near future. And then we can tie this whole thing together.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to be watching, you know, news networks that are on the left saying that it was a MAGA guy or something like that. But thank you for the update. I appreciate that. And the guy just is like, this is fresh news. I just learned a lot listening to Frank because I've been so busy having to do show prep and stuff. I didn't even know all that stuff. So thanks for, and Frank's currently watching all this stuff go down. Rich Terapoli.
Hey, listen, you hit it right on the head. The liberal left-wing woke media can say whatever they want, but I have yet to see a MAGA-inspired shooting take place, right? We just don't do that. So let them report whatever they want, but Frank just gave you the actual story.
Yeah, that's not the way that we roll. You know, the scary thing is that whenever they do these polls, there's a lot of people that are just, I hate to say ignorant of the facts, but they're ignorant of the facts. And I mean, I put part of the blame on them because of the news sources they watch. And then, the large majority of the liability from that I put on the news sources, you know. And I mean, not that I don't believe in free speech. I do. I think that we need the ability to check our news sources. Just some people are smarter about it than others. I mean, even when I talk to my mother and I'm watching, you know, she watches maybe, well, she doesn't really watch Fox a lot, but people that watch Fox, they're watching the local affiliate, which, like where I'm at in Tampa, can be fairly liberal, but they're not watching. They don't know the difference between Fox News, you know, and, you know, with the Five and Laura Ingraham and all this stuff. And then the local Fox affiliate, they just don't get it, what the huge difference there is. So, well, guys, if you're ready, let's move on to our next topic. Now, look, I got some main topics I really would love to cover. So, you know, we'll move as far as the as fast as the topics allow us. TampaFreePress.com, a verdict reached in Florida, would be Trump assassin Ryan Ruth guilty on all charges. Look, I don't normally give the names out. This guy's name is out there pretty much because of some stuff that he did after the verdict as well. So, and I'm going to go ahead and read this now. Frank, this is one of the, it's just one of the topics that you talked about recently that's going to be released coming up.
So that's a great segue, Chip. Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, as a matter of fact, Fox Nation dropped a documentary last evening. It's called Assassin on the Sixth Hole. And it has some Fox celebrities in that documentary. And we go through the beginning from the assassination attempt, some of his background in which he was overseas in Ukraine, and some other things that he was involved in, some eyewitnesses to his behavior in Ukraine, what the FBI should have done but missed, what some of our intelligence agencies should have known but missed, and how the Secret Service made some critical errors in the structure of the methodology that day. And with all that being said, you might recognize someone in that documentary that's on this podcast today. I had the honor to provide some of the analytical work in that show, but I did watch it. It's 24 minutes long. It is a really, really good summary. We talk all the time about the fact that we don't know anything about Ryan Ruth. After these 24 minutes, you'll know a lot about Ryan Ruth, and you'll understand a little bit more what happened that day in Mar-a-Lago.
Hey, Rich, I'm sorry. Was I mistaken? And I know Scott picked up on it. Did he just refer to this radio show as a podcast?
I believe he did.
Okay.
I am so sorry. You know what? I'm sorry. You know what? I know it's a radio station that streams podcast capability, and I'm just going to leave it at that. And I know that I will never say that again.
Oh, that's why we love you.
He's a big-time documentarian now, right? And if you, for those of you who haven't seen this show yesterday, it was fantastic. It was actually narrated by a homeless guy that they found living under a bridge in Tacoma. And every now and then, Frank shows up and gives some extremely insightful, insight. And
actually, that wasn't a homeless person, Rich. That was actually your partner when you were counter surveillance around the White House at Lafayette Park.
Wow!
I was wondering what happened to him.
See, this is why you guys turn a lot along together, you know? Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. Now you get it, Scott. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just glad there's somebody else.
Let's not leave it there. One other thing, too, while we're talking documentaries, October 2nd is the date for the drop of the second documentary, which I'll be in on Fox Nation, which I think we need to watch because it's about the reopening of the cocaine case at the White House that was closed in 11 days by the former director. So that should be interesting.
I love it. I love it. Well, guys, just so I get this out before the commercial break, as we're coming up on that, verdict reached in Florida would be Trump assassin Ryan Ruth guilty on all charges. So that's it. You know, guilty. It was a federal trial, guilty on all charges. He's 59 years old, represented himself, faced five federal charges, including the lead count of attempting to assassinate a major presidential candidate, as well as assaulting a federal officer and multiple firearm offenses on this thing. And he could face a life sentence in prison. It goes on to say that after the verdict, dramatic scene. He grabs a pen and tries to, you know, stab himself in the neck, and he's tackled by U.S. Marshals. So that's the way that goes down. Commercial break, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, as police officers, we deal with guns every day. And you know what? Also, guys, you know, we can order our gear, pretty much everything but guns and ammo, from any source. And when you throw the online mix, the choices are like limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody about something that's more important. Choosing where you get your gear from. Choose a company that actually supports law enforcement. I don't know of a company that does that better than Galls at Galls.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens, and I mean dozens, of focused organizations like this radio show. So take it from me, when it comes to going to buy your gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Galls at Galls.com. And, you know, they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Galls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. And they pretty much, like I said earlier, have everything but guns and ammo. Go to Galls.com. I think you'll be glad that you did. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, guys. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most hands-on, common sense approaches that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We are joined by Scott Steyer from Aero Precision. We got Rich Deripoli and Frank Loveridge from the Secret Service, former SACs. And guys, it's a great show so far. Guys, commentary on any of the topics that we've covered that you guys want to get out there before we move on? And are we all caught up? All right. So the next one I've got on the agenda is TampaFreePress.com, at TampaFP.com, and LawOfficer.com. Trump signs executive order designating Antifa a domestic terrorist organization. So I don't know how significant you guys think that is. I'm pretty pleased with this, but he signed this on Monday, formally designating, I know he's been talking about it, but he formally did it on Monday, and he has designated Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization. He followed that up on social media, made announcement there. The order, which was made public on Tuesday, directs all relevant federal departments and agencies to utilize all applicable authorities to investigate, disrupt, and dismantle any and all illegal operations. There's a little caveat in this that I came to later on. The executive order is titled Designating Antifa as a Domestic Terrorist Organization. That's the title. And outlines the administration's rationale for the action. And they say, quote, Antifa is a militarist anarchist enterprise that explicitly calls for the overthrow of the United States government, law enforcement authorities, and our system of law, unquote. It goes on to describe the actions as a campaign of violence and terrorism nationwide. It cites coordinated efforts to obstruct law enforcement of federal laws through armed standoffs with law enforcement, organized riots, violent assaults on immigration, on ICE, other law enforcement officers, and routine doxing of and other threats against political figures and activists. And of course, that's why we want our guys wearing masks, right? The order also explicitly calls for, and this is the part that I love, and this is the tell. The order calls explicitly for the investigation of those who provide material support to Antifa, stating that the administration will take necessary investigatory and prosecutorial actions against those people who are funding the operations. Ding, ding, ding. I'm getting excited already. Any commentary on this? We got a little over 5 minutes. Frank Loveridge.
Well, I'll jump right on this one. This was long overdue. You have the former FBI director, Chris Wray, who said that Antifa is nothing more than an ideology. Well, I will tell you, that's the same director of the FBI that went after the Catholics, was in Mar-a-Lago investigating classified documents of the president, but nobody else besides that. Would not tell us how many FBI agents were involved in January 6th at the Capitol, but did admit there was FBI operatives there. This person has no legitimacy whatsoever. So we go back, we say, okay, it's an ideology. Well, it's not an ideology. We've been out there, Richie and I have been out there on the streets. We know they have lawyers out there. They have cameras out there. They're filming. They're trying to get lawsuits against the against whatever law enforcement uniform people that are out there. But more importantly, when you think about what they're doing out there, they're all dressed in the same equipment. Now, unless they all went to the same Dick's Sporting Goods and got whatever they got, there has to be some reason how they have the same equipment out there. They have an organized structure. They show up at these events in mass. They create violence. They create chaos. This is an organization. It is pulled together and it is financed. And you need these laws. You need this terrorist classification in order to go after that funding to use the Justice Department to cut the head off the snake. And I'll let you take it from there.
Wow. Love it. All right, Rich.
Well, you know what? I'll pick up where you left off, Frank, cutting the head off the snake, right? Antifa is a well-funded, well-managed, terrorist, domestic terrorist organization. But if you read that executive order, if you take out the word Antifa, you can easily put in leadership of Illinois. You could put in the Democratic arm of Congress, right? All of these senior most elected officials, while they may not provide financial support, they're providing material support to all these activities and actions that these subversive and terrorist groups such as Antifa are committing throughout the United States. At the top of the show, we had mentioned we have yet to see any MAGA person, any Republican, any person who wears the red go out and commit any of these acts. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. It's all of these woke liberal Dems that are actually committing these subversive activities. And this needs to be shut down. And I think this is a great place to start.
Yeah,
I'll just say one thing, Chip. I was going to say is the fact that this will enable us to hold these people accountable. Because when they've been identified as a terrorist organization, the criminal penalties and the ability for the federal government to come in and to prosecute these individuals and incarcerate these individuals will definitely deter the types of people that I see on the street claiming to be Antifa, because they're used to just basically going through a revolving door in the criminal justice system and being back out the next day. That will not happen if they're charged with a terrorist activity and the federal government comes in and does their job at suppressing this activity.
I'm sorry, Scott. I was just going to say, Scott, the name I hear, probably you too, Scott, is George Soros for funding a lot of efforts. This should get a lot of people a little concerned if they're funding these kinds of activities. Scott Steyer.
Well, I was just going to ask, does that mean that they're able to go and follow the money? What does this mean, like, in the big picture of how to... Because, if you follow the money, you're going to find it, right? Now, does this mean that they're able to go in there and legally, get into the bank accounts of these people and see where all this is coming from? That's my question.
So, Scott, what this means is now, because the federal government is involved, Department of Justice is involved, they'll be able to subpoena the money going into these terrorist organizations. They are now classified as terrorist organizations. So anyone that funds them is committing a crime by supporting these terrorist activities. So in other words, yes, this gives us the teeth that we need to be able to follow that money, to track it back and find out where it's coming from and hold those people accountable, because that's the problem. Like we just said, like Rich and I just said, it is the head of the snake that needs to be cut off to shut this down. Yep. And this is going to give us the ability to do that.
And it also makes it more difficult for these woke liberal judges that are looking for their 15 minutes of fame, who would normally shut this type of thing down. Now that they've been declared a domestic terrorist organization, you're going to be less apt to see a judge just come out and decline to sign off on a warrant or a subpoena for information. So it's one more tool that allows us to go out and prosecute these people and start shutting this down. And ultimately, you're right, Scott, it's going to start with this Soros guy. Absolutely.
Well, guys, perfect timing up for our next commercial break, so stick with us. We will be right back. All right, guys, introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about Scott's favorite subject, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market back last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of this primo stuff. And their M5 AR three-way platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by, we've got from Aero Precision, we got Scott Steyert, we've got Rich Steripoli and Frank Loveridge from the Secret Service. And man, we've been talking about all of our main topics, and we've been discussing the Secret Service involvements and half this stuff. Guys, the last topic, any more commentary on the last topic from the Secret Service from any standpoint, or are you ready to go to our first story with a video component? We got some more Secret Service stuff coming up, you know, because we just can't get enough of that stuff. But all right, I love it. Here we go. Let's go. We got two stories that with a video component that I want to cover. So for people that are listening to the show audibly, you know, look, we understand that, you know, there's no way that you can see any video that we're talking about. And during a live show, there's really too many things that can go wrong anyhow if you try the show, a video during a live show. So we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover a story with a video component that you absolutely feel like you have to see, look no further than going to our Rumble channel at Lee. We'll just go to rumble.com and type in Leo Roundtable, or you can type in Law Enforcement Talk Show and it'll pop up. And, you know, we put a special version of this live show. It goes up the next morning at 9 o'clock. So our live show is Monday through Friday during the lunch hour. That's 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. But the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, producer Will takes a copy of the live show from the day before. He'll embed every video that we talk about. Pictures of the good guys and the bad guys will be in there. He'll Photoshop Scott, Frank, and Rich's faces, and then he throws it up at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Rumble channel. It's a great way to watch the show. It's a one-stop shop, so you always have that option. So this one, at rumble.com, we got the story from This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Doorbell camera captures a suspect attacking officers, plural, with a knife in Cathedral City.
Police department. Hey!
This is a dynamic video. Wow. How did this cop not get stabbed worse? So the Cathedral City Police Department releases this dramatic video showing the moment that a man attacked a officer. His name is Marcus Alea with a knife. So Commander Nathaniel Hanley is talking about this. He said the incident ended with the officer gaining control of the suspect and arresting him on the scene. And so the officer is already back to full duty. He said that he received a slight injury during the scuffle. I think it was like a slice, you know, from the knife, but he was able to come back to work. So Riverside County jail records reveal the suspect is Juan Francisco Sosa Jr., only 29 years old. And he ends up being charged with attempted murder and with robbery. Now, the agency said the officer responded to a 911 call about 3:11 p.m. on July the 27th regarding a verbal disturbance at the home. And there was a female that actually came out of the house during all this stuff. The attack happened right as he got to the front door. So, yeah, so you see on the doorbell cam, which is pretty good quality, the bad guy opens up the door from the inside, opens it, steps out, and it's like he sees something. Now, I think that he saw the officers pulling in. Our male officer came from a direction that the bad guy wouldn't have been able to see, but the doorbell cams are kind of funky too, because it's got that like fish line. So I'm pretty confident he saw the police coming, because he immediately steps back in the house, closes the door. At that point, you see a male officer in uniform around the corner, and right before he gets to the door, the bad guy opens up the door again, comes out with the knife, and the officer starts to talk to him. Then sees he's got the knife, and what the officer does instinctively, he drops down low, and he's trying to take the bad guy down, but it doesn't exactly work out that way. He ends up grabbing the guy around the waist. So it was like a pinning move to pin him up against the side of the house. And the first stab, the bad guy stabs the cop right in the side. Now, it was obvious to me that the cop had body armor on, and then the bad guy stabbing him in the back. Now, the cop had both of his hands tied up around the guy's waist. Not optimal when you're taking in, you know, a stab wounds, right? And then we have a female screaming, coming out, trying to distract, grab the guy, trying to keep him at some of the points from stabbing the cop. But the bad guy had two free hands. One of them had a knife in it. Cop didn't. And then eventually cop takes the bad guy down to the ground. And it's when the female finally arrives as the backup, the cop does tell her he's got a knife. So the cop, I was wondering if the cop even realized the dude had a knife, but apparently he did. They end up getting the guy under control, and they go 10-15 with the bad guy. So it ended up, you know, working out. But anyhow, what a dramatic video. Guys, commentary on this one. We got a little over 6 minutes before we take our next commercial break. So I see Scott making the move for commentary. So Scott, why don't you start us off on this one?
Yeah, I mean, that guy is lucky, because I think, you know,
the cop or the bad guy?
Yeah, well, the bad guy, because if it would have been me, I just startled like that, I probably would have created some distance and drew my firearm on him, because that's what I was thinking. And that's the thing. And the cop is also lucky, because his hands were free. And when I saw it go into his side like that, ooh, man, I was thinking, does he have plates on the side? Which I don't think he did. So if the bad guy was a little bit more trained, it would have been a really bad day for that law enforcement officer.
Yeah, there were points in the video where you could see it seemed like he realized that the cop had the vest on, and it seemed like he was reaching over the back and trying to get past the vest, like down by the waist area, to get a puncture, is at least what it seemed like to me. What would you think, Rich?
Well, listen, I think you hit it on the head. Just because you're wearing a, you know, body armor, the proverbial bulletproof vest, that doesn't mean you're wearing a suit of armor, right? People tend to forget, well, yeah, that body armor will stop a bullet, but it may not stop a pointy object like a knife, right? I think the best thing to do here, and Scott put it perfectly, create some distance. You see the knife, it's justified. Shoot this guy. What was the incentive and the motivation to wrestle this guy, right? We're not on the mat here. What if this guy would have stuck you in the throat with that knife? Then you're going to bleed out on the floor. There's a hesitancy among law enforcement here, and I know all the listeners pay attention to this one, right? There are certain situations where that hesitancy has to go away. This is not a stun gun situation. This is not a baton situation. This is a distance situation, and then if the guy closes the distance, shoot him. That's it. That's the end of the story here.
Yeah, you know, there are situations where, I mean, sometimes you're right. I completely agree about creating the distance. Sometimes a bad guy will be just so close with a gun or a knife that you're, in my opinion, you're better off just going for the, not going and wrapping your hands around his waist, but going for the weapon, because you're just simply too close to be able to get away before they deploy it. Or especially if you have a holstered gun, to be able to create distance, you know, break the leather and pull it up, point on target, pull the trigger. You know, sometimes you're just better off trying to control that weapon, because you've got two hands that are trying to disarm him. He's really only got one, because he's holding the gun, the weapon with the other one. But I was a bit surprised.
Yeah. And he could easily, because his hands were free. And then as I was watching, it's like, man, I hope he doesn't come over the top and starts trying, you know, stab his neck or slicing his neck in some way. So I don't know what level of training the law enforcement have dealing with, you know, guys with knives, but I would assume that it's like, get a hold of that hand, at least control the knife, control the hand that has the knife. At least at that point, he's not able to stab him or slice him. But I mean, it happened fast. So, I mean, I'm glad it worked out the way it did, but could have went either way.
Frank Loveridge.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Rich and I have served our fair share of arrest warrants, knock and announce in Brooklyn and all over the boroughs of New York. And these things happen so quick, and the dynamics happen so quick, and it's easy to sit back and try to money more than quarterback it. But I understand. You're both, everyone is on track. I mean, there's no doubt the first thing you want to do is establish distance to give you more decision-making time when something like that happens. But he actually got into it, and, you know, he did the best he could under the circumstances and under the pressure that you're under when you're involved in a situation like that. So my kudos. I'm just glad he's alive. And yeah, in retrospect, obviously creating distance. And if you can get to cover, that's even a better position to be in. So agree with all of you on this topic.
Yeah. As a former DT defensive tactics instructor, I hope that they see this as a learning opportunity, a teaching opportunity. If it was me and I was agency head, if I have a troop that did that, I'd have to ask questions. Well, does he have former training? Is he a grappler? Is he just did he just instinctively do that? You know, I'm talking about our cop, or do we need to go back to the academy and do edge weapon training? Because I totally expect him to grab that with two hands is what I would have liked to have seen. And on a side note, I just ran that tag in the background behind you where you're at, Frank Leverage, through an LPR license plate reader, and it came back as stolen, dude.
Well, you'll have to ask Barack Obama where it went, because I think that was his before I
had it. There you go.
The car that was on is currently in Hunter Biden's garage.
How do you?
Yeah, it's been impounded there. Evidently, right. There was some foreign contraband in that vehicle, so it was impounded.
And a gun.
No, the gun was no. They found the gun in a dumpster nearby.
That's what he says.
So do you guys have a script that you guys create before the show starts that you actually go, or it's just like freestyle?
No, we just like a lot of people, so it just flows from there.
Exactly. It just flows better that way.
I don't mean freestyle like what Scott's thinking, you know, but I'm talking about, you know, like off the top of your head. Let me just get the script. Off the top of your head is what I meant with that, Scott. Don't get excited. So
yeah, it's always off the top of our heads.
All right. Well, hey, we got another story with a video component coming up, but hey, we are doing another commercial break here. We're going to be talking about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. So, guys, stick with us. And hey, we got some stories coming up that you definitely don't want to miss. This next one's going to be a sniper. Scott will either confirm or deny that. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Affianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and they've been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you if you have your own agency. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. So if you're a chief, a sheriff, command staff, go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is at GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are still joined by Scott Steyer from Aero Precision, Rich Steripoli, and Frank Leverage, former SACs with the Secret Service. And we're now going to be talking about our next story that has a video component. We got it from our favorite law enforcement video channel at rumble.com. It's called This Is Butter. So we have drone footage shows the fatal shooting of a 72-year-old who points a gun at officers. And another advantage of having drones. So if your agency has not gone drone yet, guys, consider it. There are so many benefits to having the drone technology and utilizing it. LaSalle, Illinois, the Illinois State Police, they released footage of a March shooting where an officer fatally shot an armed man in LaSalle County. So it's 1:30, the middle of the afternoon, March the 30th, LaSalle Police Department and the Peru Police Departments, they respond and they say that there's an encounter of a guy who's supposed to be suicidal, but he's got a gun. So at the scene, the officers see this guy, he exits the building and he fires the gun in the air. So now they call out LaSalle County Sheriff's Office tactical response team. So TRT comes out and they're on the scene. So responders are trying to de-escalate the situation for over an hour and a half. The guy reportedly exits the building numerous times with a gun in his hand. And at one point, allegedly, he shoots it out the window towards the officer. So around 4 p.m., the agency says the guy comes out of the building and he points the gun at the officer. So you'll see the guy with this drone footage, and he's standing in the doorway. Doorway's open. He's got his hand behind his back. All of a sudden, he pulls out, and if memory serves me correctly, I think it was a revolver. I think it was like a stainless steel revolver. And you see him pointing up. You can't really tell that he's pointing at the officers because, you know, we're looking at it from the drone. But apparently he did, because that's when he's taken out. And I would like to get the panelists' opinion on what took him out. The video, which does not have audio, it shows the guy standing in the doorway of the building. He's on the phone. That's right. He's on the phone with one hand and with a gun in the other hand. And the drone did a spectacular job. And you can see the guy go down. And there's little doubt in my mind that he was done as soon as before he even hit the ground. 72-year-old. His name was Daniel W. Curtin, Sr. of LaSalle. And that's the way that one went down. Commentary on this. And, you know, Scott, you want to start us off on this one, since you're the guy with the most experience on this kind of stuff. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it appears to me, because it appears to me it probably was a sniper, because just the amount of blood right after the shot and the way he went down. And it just sounds like there was probably, and plus they called in their equivalent of a SWAT team, and it sounds like he was probably set up. And the sniper was set up and took him out. I mean, it was a one shot, great shot. He was done for. So I would imagine it was some type of high power sniper rifle is what it looked like.
Yeah, and these things aren't really designed to look good. It's just kind of hard to to film something like this and have it look good. So there's people that might be disturbed by that. But ultimately, I think in this case, we could all argue that the law enforcement action saved lives. And this guy, they tried over an hour and a half to talk this guy down, and he's still there and pointing a gun, and he previously firing at law enforcement. So, I mean, what can you do? Any other commentary on this, guys? Because if not, we have a Secret Service story that we're there. If only we had a Secret Service guy on the show that could give us some inside information on this. All right, so moving along, let's go to our next one here. We've got TampaFreePress.com, at TampaFP.com. Secret Service foils a cyber attack that have crippled the U.S. cell network. So I have to admit, when I read this, Frank and Rich, I was a little surprised, because I didn't know that the Secret Service was into this. And then they talk about a new unit. So maybe you can, I know some of you guys are still in the relative space. So maybe you can enlighten us on maybe some of the capabilities and the benefit to having done this, because I think a lot of people will hear this and they'll not even realize what the potential threat was. But the U.S. Secret Service announced yesterday that it had dismantled an imminent cyber threat in the New York tri-state area, prevented a potential telecommunications blackout that could have crippled cell networks and endangered senior government officials. And that can be very serious. In a press release issued on Tuesday, Secret Service revealed that its Advanced Threat Interdiction Unit, and that's the unit that I'm not familiar with, a newly formed section of the agency, discovered and dismantled a network of more than 300 co-located SIM servers and 100,000 SIM cards. Wow. The devices were concentrated within a 35-mile area around the United Nations General Assembly, which is currently underway in New York City. Secret Service stated the devices were being used to conduct anonymous telephonic threats against senior U.S. government officials. That could be a problem, but their capabilities extended far beyond the simple harassment. According to the Secret Service, the devices could have been used to disable cell phone network towers, launch denial of service attacks, facilitate anonymous encrypted communication between nation-state threat actors and individuals known to law enforcement. It goes on to say the potential for disruption to the country's telecommunications posed by the network of devices, they said that it cannot be overstated. And the Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, said that, quote, the U.S. Secret Service protective mission is all about prevention. And this investigation makes it clear that to potential bad actors, at least anyhow, the imminent threats to our protectees will be immediately investigated, tracked down, and dismantled. And it goes on to talk about the timing of it, of course, the location with the UN General Assembly being in place and all that stuff. Rich, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, so it's not common knowledge, but the Secret Service maintains something known as the XSAP program, the Electronic Crime Special Agent Program. These are specially trained agents primarily focused on network intrusions, cellular cloning, internet hacking, anything that touches high tech. In conjunction with that, the U.S. intelligence agencies, specifically the National Security Agency, whose bailiwick is the interception of communications, both cellular as well as, video, as well as the National Reconnaissance Office, are all over New York intercepting all sorts of signals, just to make sure that we don't get a repeat of what happened, say, on September 11th. A coordinated effort between multiple agencies, in this case, primarily the Secret Service, resulted in the location and the identification of what's known as a SIM farm. For those of you listening or maybe watching, you know that a SIM, which is the subscriber identity module, is the component of any device that touches the internet, most commonly your Apple, your iPhone. But what this does is this enables your device to be identified and authenticated to the network. If I set up a SIM farm, basically what I'm doing is allowing myself to intercept all sorts of signals, authenticate all of these devices, which are now under my control, and flood cell towers with signals, as well as creating my own network to intercept everything from cell phone calls, SMS, text messages, any type of video or data that's moving amongst the net. What's the downside to doing this? If I flood a cell tower with enough signals, whether they're genuine or I create them, I can shut the cell tower down and I could do things like shut down 911 services or reroute signals and then recreate them to my advantage. And this is what was going on here. In the old days, a better explanation would be, this is the guy who climbs up on the telephone pole for Ma Bell. He's got a butt set. He opens up that nice silver box that's hanging off the telephone pole, and he starts plugging in the alligator clips to find the pairs. Eventually, he's going to find two pair that work, and now he's on your line, and he can intercept and hear everything that you're talking about. This is the more modern 21st version of that.
Wow. Well, Frank.
Well, that's a hard act to follow right there. A lot of research, but I will tell you, one thing, Richie and I, we're like umpires. We call balls and strikes. And I always give the Secret Service credit when the Secret Service deserves the credit. We also become critical when they make mistakes so they can learn from their mistakes. What we saw is definitely something that they need to be proud of what they did, because by shutting down this operation, and I mean this, they basically stopped a major catastrophe that could have happened during the UN General Assembly. It started with swatting. How it all started. And they began to subpoena the swatting that was going on. This swatting was directed towards our director of the Secret Service, Sean Curran, as well as members of the FBI and senior management, up to actually the director of the FBI. And when this happened, they started the subpoenas were going out. They followed them and they were able to track it back to these SIM farms and be able to foil this operation. So I have to give it as a joint operation. The Secret Service was involved. There were other agencies also involved. I talked to some sources today on the phone. So it was a joint effort within the federal law enforcement community and intelligence community. And I just want to say, great job. Secret Service did an excellent job. And Richie explained it perfectly, exactly what it could have been, could have happened if we didn't foil this mission.
You know, I love it when these federal agencies are allowed to do their job and do what they're really good at. We've seen some spectacular performance from the FBI. And now the Secret Service, and I mean, it's technical. A lot of people may not fully be able to appreciate it, but I tell you, I do. This is some major. This is so major, and it could have been catastrophic because of what was going on with the UN Assembly. So, man, I am so proud of the Secret Service, as I know you guys are for what they did, and I know they're not going to get enough credit for what they just did. But wow, this is fantastic. And I know you guys don't do it to get credit and pats on the back. I get that. But this is pretty spectacular, guys. This is like freaking amazing stuff. We've only got we're winding it down, so I gotta cut it. But hey, thank you so much for being on the show, guys. And Rich Steripoli, Frank Loveridge, and also Scott Steyert. I want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Please check them out and support that organization. Our sponsors, you know, Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, Aero Precision USA, GunLearn, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, TwoBells.com, FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.